5 minutes after the hour. Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Ready to go here on this Wednesday. I'm Brady Hull. We've got Angel Padilla on the other side of the bulletproof glass. How you doing, Angel?
Good.
You ready for a Wednesday? You ready to do this?
I think so.
Strapping in, ready to rock and roll? It's Avs Day.
It's Avs Day.
Colorado Avs back in action tonight for regular season. You've got, well, you had the Nuggets last night, the preseason. Did you stay up and watch that whole thing?
I did.
You did. Good for you, because you get up really early.
Mm-hmm. I took a nap, so I had an hour.
That helps.
An hour of surplus sleep.
Started at 8 o'clock on TNT. Stan Gundy?
Mm-hmm.
He's on there? What'd you think of him?
Oh, he's fine.
Not bad. I feel like the broad, again, it's TNT.
It's preseason, so they're not like, there's not much to talk about other than what's going on the floor, so there's no storylines to dive into, really. Preseason for them, too.
Oh, I would not want to broadcast like preseason basketball, because again, you're going to talk about a lot of guys that you're not going to be talking about ever.
Extremely awkward.
Yeah, who was it? It was Channing Frye and who else? Like it was like the players' halftime.
2 minutes in.
Yeah, without the studs, you know, with Ernie, Shaq, Chuck, Kenny, like without those guys, those guys just do it differently. But I gotta say, Angel, I feel like the narrative has certainly switched. Stan put out his power rankings to start the season, got the Nuggets up top, and pretty complimentary of Joker and Jamal Murray and everybody there. And last night, you know, somebody had asked me, do they look rusty? Yeah, I suppose. But honestly, you kind of got right into the old rigmarole there with the Nuggets.
No, I mean, like, yeah, they were a little rusty to start, but I remember thinking, like, going to a commercial, like, okay, Nuggets are up by 8. I'm like, oh, that's pretty normal. All right.
Yeah, they held on to for the end. You got to see a lot of the youngsters in there in the second half. Starters didn't play in the second half. Mm-hmm. You got to see, now, Justin Holiday started for MPJ. Had some good defensive plays, had a couple of threes in that game. I'll be curious to see how that progresses and what his spot looks like on the bench. And yeah,
I don't know if he has a spot.
You don't think so? Even though he started last night,
yeah,
you think he's going to go all the way to the bottom?
Experience. I think the bench guy will be Julian.
But you got to have more than that.
Him, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, Reggie.
I thought Reggie looked bad last night.
He had like 17 points.
He had a turnover though.
One turnover.
He had a bad turnover. He had 14 points. He had I thought it was a critical turnover late in the game.
They won, didn't they?
Well, still a critical turnover. He was 5 of 11.
That's a temporary spot anyway.
Oh, sorry, wrong one.
You're waiting for Pickett to pick
up. Well, that's why I'm saying, like, can Pickett, do we think Pickett can play better? Reggie Jackson just doesn't do it for me. He just doesn't do it. And, you know, 14 points, all right. He played 18 minutes in that game. He had the ball in his hands a lot. He's fine, but I'm waiting to see if a guy like Pickett will step up. He played 17 minutes. He had 5 points. Seeing a little of that booty ball backing down a little bit. Not a whole lot of it, but the guy I was also paying attention to was Zeke Nnaji, who had 17 points. But again, that's why I'm not getting all caught up on points, because Zeke doesn't look like he's going to fit. It's going to be a struggle for minutes right now.
He did get the defensive player of the game necklace from the coaches. He was defending pretty much everybody on the floor.
Yeah, he played a lot. Hunter Tyson didn't look great. He was 0 for 6, didn't make a shot. Watson, I thought, looked wonderful. I thought Watson and I thought Strother looked wonderful. Like, those two guys, great. Starters, listen, I'm not, whatever, they're going to do their thing. I actually think Justin Holiday is going to find himself some minutes. He had 5 points in that one, 2 of 6, 1 assist, 1 steal, played 19 minutes. They all kind of played in that first half there. So when I look at the rotation for the Nuggets, obviously Christian Brown, who didn't play last night, who's growing out a really weird beard. I mean, it's just getting weirder since we saw it. I don't know how long he's going to let that thing go. But obviously he's going to be the sixth man. Strother's going, if he keeps going like this, he'll be the next guy off the bench. So who's the point guard? Well, right now it's Reggie Jackson. And he's fine. I'm just not sold on him being the long-term, and I'm talking long-term this season, backup point guard plan.
I'm not going to write him off just yet. He came in late last year. Bruce Brown was already established in that role. I don't think Reggie's going to try to be Bruce Brown. I think Malone's going to work with him to figure out what that role is going to be, and I think it's more of just the facilitator and more of just the veteran guy on the floor that can calm the young guys down a bit. But yeah, I think you're really going to be looking at Brown, Watson, and Strother as those key bench guys, and then obviously Zeke Nagy and DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, well, and Colin Gillespie is interesting. He didn't look great, but he did have that beautiful and one take late in the game.
Yeah, he's very much an energy guy, and he just kind of has to get going in a game, I think.
Yeah, I definitely like Watson, Bruce Brown, or Christian Brown, Strother. Those three guys are going to be. And you're going to go with Reggie Jackson right off the bat. To be the guy off the bench.
I don't think you're not going to have this bench completely figured out until maybe like January.
No, because there's a lot of guys. And again, Zeke
Nagy.
There's
just too many guys that you have to see what they can do together. And Malone likes to rotate to find what chemistry works better.
And I'll be curious to see what Zeke Nagy does because he had moments. He played a lot of minutes. I think he played more than. You saw a lot of Watson and Tyson because I think they are trying to get tape on them more. They're trying to see how those guys might be able to fit.
And Najee he's taken on a lot this year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be a little patient with him, but it's a big responsibility, but that's a lot for him to take on just by himself.
What Malone said at the presser day, though, Angel, about Zeke Nagy was pretty telling to me. Basically, don't get hurt. That's what he said, don't get hurt. Because if he gets hurt, he's losing minutes. He's going to lose a lot of time. But he was good. I mean, 17 points. And that's why I do not look at box scores at all. Because Reggie Jackson in 18 minutes had 14 points. Nikola Jokic in 18 minutes had 9 points. None of that means anything. But the way they're scoring. And this is why, like, Strother, his points, he led the team last night. He had 20 points. And it's not just the point total that I'm looking at with Strother. It was how he scored within the flow of the offense. He wasn't forcing anything. It was seamless. He looked like he'd been playing for an entire year. So that's what I'm really excited to see. Like, he could be a player, and again, it's one preseason game, but he could be a player that quickly fits in, maybe even faster than Christian Brown fit in.
It's early. It's one game. This is the first.
But they've really liked him in training camp, too.
He reminds me, his play style reminds me of Michael Porter. In that spot up, give me the ball, I'm going to just shoot it.
I kind of see that.
And I think this team is trying to match the starters with the bench as closely as they can because if everyone's on the same page with the offense, you don't have to change it for your bench. And when you rotate those starters in, everyone's on the same page.
So how many players are we going to see? Like, okay, not the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the season, but once we get to a regular rotation. Obviously, the playoffs was, what, 2 to 3 in the playoffs? We're going to see 3 to 4 mm-hmm. on a regular night. It's a close game. You're shifting out your minutes responsibly. We know Christian Brown. That's a given, number one. But we're talking 3 to 4 guys. So I need 3 to 4 guys. Christian Brown. Do we think Strother's already there? Are we going to say he's part of that regular rotation?
Let me fill out the rest of the list first.
Okay, so you got Zeke Nagy.
Nagy, yep.
Is he going to be a part of the regular rotation? He was for a while, and then lost it.
I think they're going to go back and forth with him and Jordan until one of them kind of takes that role. I think they're going to want Zeke to take that, so I would put Zeke over there.
And then Watson, P-Watt there.
P-Swat.
Power forward, center, they're big man, basically, when Joker's out. Mm-hmm. And then Reggie, and I'll give you Reggie Jackson right now.
Yep.
I just, like I said,
and
he doesn't.
That's just up to one of these young guys picking it up and taking on that role.
So that's four guys already. Brown, Zeke, P-Watt, Reggie Jackson, and then it's Strother next. Keep doing it, though, and he'll take over Zeke's minutes.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. Now, again, I know Strother's a guard, but.
He's a pretty tall guard.
How tall is he? I mean, because I don't think there's a huge difference between size. What is he? He's 6'7". Zeke Nagy, I think Zeke's 6'. He's 6'9". But you're going to have Peyton Watson be the big man there.
Reggie, well, I thought they said that Zeke was playing the five.
Yeah, they said he could probably play the five, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they can. They've been kind of cross-training him with the four and five.
So Zeke,
I think you could see DeAndre and Zeke on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see
super big.
If Jordan actually gets real minutes. He looked fine in the minutes that he got last night.
Well, he doesn't need to do a ton. He just needs to be a body out there.
Yeah, just give guys breaks. But that's the thing with the bench, and especially with the Nuggets, it's not your traditional point guard five. Now, Bruce Brown was a luxury because he could play two, he could play one. Malone already told us last week that Christian Brown will not be playing point guard. So that's why you have to have a Reggie Jackson, or if a Pickett takes off. And again, that's going to take some time. He's going to be more of a project.
Sure.
But you're going to see P-Watt and Zeke be the big men as the backups, as the power forward and the center, basically. There's not a true, other than DeAndre Jordan, again, not really a true center on this team.
Well, in the way Malone's going to stagger the starters out, it's, you'll very rarely see just the bench out there on their own without at least one starter out there.
So you're not high on Justin Holiday, though? You don't think he's going to really be a part of this
thing?
I need
to see more of him and what his role is going to be on this bench, what type of player he wants to be, and what Malone wants him to be. Because I think Malone is so strict about what the bench needs to be and what type of role you're going to have in that system.
How many preseason games do they have?
I think four.
So there's not a lot of time here to evaluate. They got five. So they've got tomorrow night they'll be at Chicago and then home on Sunday against Chicago. And then the following Tuesday and Thursday, both games are at LA, Clippers. So not a lot of time to round this out. And obviously the sad news yesterday, the passing of Michael Malone's father, Brendan Malone. I mean, that was tough, obviously, for the entire organization. But he wasn't there. He was at his old home in New York with family, obviously. So you had who a lot of people believe is going to be the next head coach is David Edelman. He'll be a head coach soon.
Can we keep him?
Probably not. Probably not. That's just how it goes.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's good. He is good. But you know, you wonder how much Malone probably has already watched all the film over and over and over again, regardless of the situation with family. Mm-hmm. Probably therapeutic in a way. But those minutes last night in this game, they were crucial for the bench, because that's what you're trying to figure out. And Malone even said it in the presser last week at Media Day. He said, hey, no spot is given on the bench. So everybody's going to have to work for it. I would say that Christian Brown's like the one guy that's safe. And then it's going to be, how does this all unfold? Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with Julian Strother. I like his demeanor. I like his play. I like how he wasn't forcing anything. He looked a lot like he did when he played with Gonzaga.
It's kind of just crazy how fast it all happens. You know, I feel like I was just at school last week, and now, you know, Jokic's throwing me one more pass in the corner and expecting me to hit that. And Jamal's, you know, hunting me, like you said, for open shots. So it comes at you quick, but I'm blessed.
I'm excited for him. Again, he might play the first 3 weeks of the season. We might not see him at all. We might not see him at all for the first month or so.
Well, did you see the video after the game where Calvin Booth is right outside the locker room and he's the first one Julian talks to? Gives him a handshake. Nice job.
Well, that's, you know.
Calvin
hasn't led the charge in many of these drafts, you know, so those are, because that was their first pick, right?
Yes.
Strother, and then it was Pickett?
Yes.
And then it was Hunter Tyson?
Yeah.
And we'll see if Hunter Tyson can get going, because he had a rough game last night. The bad for me, I'm going to say the Shador watch reaction stuff. Did you have, now I know you're annoyed by the Buffs. Did you have an issue with Shador running down at the end of the game doing his watch thing?
I thought it was not in poor taste, but kind of like not earned, I would say. Like, okay, you're flexing on a team that you should have beat by 20.
Yeah, but at the beginning of the season, I don't know that a lot of people were saying they should have beat them by 20.
No, but your expectations change week to week.
Sure, but I just said, listen, I don't really have a problem with it. They're trying to get a watch deal, too. It's just good business. Hey, the marketing advertising brain side of my brain is like, that's a good move.
When did we start wearing watches during football?
Well, I think he probably went and threw it on real quick, didn't he?
That's what you're worried about?
Yeah.
You don't want to celebrate with your team? You want to, hey, give me my Rolex real quick. I got to flex something.
Yeah. That's good. I don't mind it. I don't know. Maybe I'm numb to it with primetime.
Why do you need a watch on while you're playing? I don't understand.
Did you like Johnny Manziel's money thing? No.
You know how I feel about Johnny Manziel.
Did you like Baker Mayfield's stuff that he did? Grabbing his crotch, looking across the field?
I didn't feel as strongly about it.
I just like a little attitude. You know, these are kids. They're not kids. They're not kids. They're young men. So I just think that a lot of people. And so I said, oh, it's a huge win. And people are coming at me, which probably you, Angel. You know, so how's that a huge win? Well, they were projected to win 3, and they just went over that number. No, so I think that's a huge win.
It's a win. It's a good win.
It's a good win. And Arizona State gave USC some fits 2 weeks ago. So the ugly, and you heard it on the NBA broadcast last night, Angel, the midseason tournament. Just trying to explain it made me irritated. Like, I'm enjoying the preseason game, and then they start going into the midseason thing, and the NBA Cup, they'll be playing. I'm like, God, it's just going to be so annoying when we get close to it, and we have these games. Yeah,
it makes you not want, you don't want the Nuggets to be anywhere near it.
I don't really care. I don't want them to play
because
in the finals.
They're not going to play intense for it. Nikola Jokic isn't going to say, let's go win this NBA Cup.
Yeah, it means so much to us.
I don't want to look at.
Yeah, I just don't. It doesn't do anything for me. All right.
It's not for them. It's for the other teams.
Yeah, it's stupid. The NBA Cup.
We're going to get banners for them, too, and rings. And
are we going to parade the cup around like the NHL Stanley Cup? Parade it around? Everybody gets to have it? Love to see Joker with the NBA Cup and what that looks like.
Drink a beer out of it or something.
I don't even think. You think he loses MVP trophies? That trophy, he wouldn't even.
It'd be a trash can for him.
I don't think he'd acknowledge it. It's just dumb. Hate this. Hate the midseason tournament. What I don't hate is what the Wyoming Cowboys are doing. Cody Tucker from 7220sports.com is going to join me. I got beef with Codes. So we're going to bring him on next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com. Or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
That ball is popped into the air and intercepted. Cole Goodbow, and he lumbers down inside the 25. Goodbow made a good play, and Wyoming will end the streak.
The Wyoming Cowboys get the dub. They beat Fresno State 24-19, and now it all sets up. We've got it center stage. Wyoming heading to Colorado Springs to play Air Force, and that, at least at this stage, will be the decider as far as who's the top team in the Mountain West. Cody Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com. Cody, a lot of Wyoming fans going at me on Saturday, and I thought you'd come to my defense, but instead you just joined in. You just joined in. You made fun of the orange and beers thing, and it hurt my feelings.
You know I can't resist to make fun of that crap. I just can't help it.
Well, I got you back. I was like, hey, I removed those oranges with a perfectly clean, pristine napkin. So, you know, let's not make fun of me on the craft beers. I'm manly when I need to be, Cody. Definitely.
Was the napkin made of hemp?
It kind of was. It smelled funny. Definitely. Dude, I got to do this. I do my picks on Friday, but I might just start having you do my picks for Wyoming, at least. And wherever you go, I go on Wyoming.
I got to tell you, man, I'm even surprising myself here a little bit. We do picks on the website every week, too, and to be honest with you, I fill them out in about 5 seconds. I don't really put a lot of weight into them or do my homework, per se. I'm not quite as bad as, like, oh, I like their uniform. It's not that bad, but it's pretty close.
Well, and I, unlike you, I think a lot about it, and several days and hours goes into it, and it yields nothing, like a terrible result, so I'm embarrassed to admit that.
Well, I hope you're not losing a lot of money. I hope the missus is okay with that.
Yeah, I don't. It's just for fun, you know, I have people coming at me, good thing I don't listen to you. I listen to guys that make their living gambling. I'm like, who makes their living gambling? Who is this guy? Is this Rounders? Is this Edward Norton and Rounders or something? I don't know.
I'd love to meet that guy.
Yeah. So Wyoming gets the dub. Andrew Peasley, got to talk about that. Obviously, that final interception, too. We got to get to that. But Peasley, just another gritty performance from him, 19 of 27, 183 yards, 3 touchdowns, and the most prestigious of honors, Cody, he's my Zvi Brewing, you'll love that, player of the week. So, yeah. I know that's all the talk up there in Wyoming today.
You know, well deserved. We've talked about it a lot. You know, Andrew Peasley gets a bad rap, man. I mean, the guy is now, what, 13-5 overall as a starter at Wyoming. He's undefeated this year. He's getting better and better. You know, I think people, honestly, Brady, they forget that the guy came from Utah State where he was not the starter. He started very few games in Logan, and he certainly had never played in a pro-style offense before. So you're talking about a guy who had to relearn basically a foreign language in a foreign place. And, you know, he did all the right things off the field. All the teammates loved him immediately. But now we're starting to see the results.
Yeah, we really are. You know, those touchdown passes he had, too. I mean, those are tough throws. He's making tough throws. It's not like he just, you know, snaps the ball and sees a blown coverage and a wide open guy. He is fitting those balls into tight windows.
Yeah, he had some throws on Saturday that were really impressive. I mean, Coach Bull called them lasers, and he's not wrong. They looked really good. And something else Bull admitted this week, which I thought was really big of him, you know, they said Andrew probably wasn't ready to play against App State when he had his, you know, 5-for-15 for 31 yards, that clunker of a game. They said he probably – his sprain in his right arm probably was not good. So it's kind of nice to hear them admit that, because it certainly didn't look like he was comfortable. And now you're starting to see a guy who's healthy and comfortable and confident as ever. I mean, it's really a revelation, because, you know, we've talked about it a lot. The quarterback play around here has not been great since Josh Allen left, and it's really nice to see some consistency there.
Cody, can you give us an update? Harrison Whaley, who 22 carries, 83 yards, is just – he was giving the Bulldogs fits. A little banged up, though, at the end of that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't see a lot from the press box, and they don't really help us much with their 20-inch flat screens way up in the corner. So we didn't really get to see how bad that looked, but when I got home and rewatched it that night, my God, it did not look good. And you could tell the fans were saying, he's probably toast for the year. And luckily for the Cowboys, he's not toast for the year, as far as Craig Bull says. Day-to-day, doesn't know if he'll play at Air Force, but he said that's the hope. So, man, he couldn't put any weight on that right foot whatsoever, and you're thinking, oh, man, this does not look good. He's a guy who had off-season knee surgery on his left knee. So hoping for the best, but you know what? They beat Texas Tech without him. So Sam Scott, Jamari Farrell, their numbers might be called in Colorado Springs.
Well, and you know, Cody, you know this. Guys and folks in Wyoming, you rub dirt on it, man. It'll be fine.
Definitely.
They'll get over it quickly. That's what it seems to be like with the Cowboys. I mean, our boy Buck Coors, it's the same kind of thing. They break their entire body, and they're like, you may never play again. And then the next day they go to practice.
Yeah, no, it's incredible, man. These guys, I mean, you got a team full of underdogs. You got a team, you don't have a team full of 4-star and 5-star guys. In fact, none. You got a lot of 1- and 2-star guys. And they've really, something Craig Bowl learned during his time at Nebraska was how important this walk-on program is. And they don't treat walk-ons like walk-ons. They're treated as scholarship guys. And I think that makes a hell of a difference.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, so looking at this game this weekend, absolutely huge. Now, Cody, I'm still saying it. I'm still saying it until I see it, and maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong about Wyoming all – well, I haven't been wrong about Wyoming all year. I do and did think they were going to be good. I just didn't realize they'd be this good. I didn't think they'd beat Texas Tech. I didn't think they'd go toe-to-toe with Texas like they did. And I didn't think that they'd beat Fresno State, but here we are. But here's an opportunity now to go up against Air Force. And you look at Air Force, every game they play, they dominate, but except for the Sam Houston game. But their schedule hasn't been very good. I think they're like one of the worst teams in the league or in college football as far as when you rank their schedule. Robert Morris, Sam Houston, Utah State, San Jose State, and San Diego State. Those are the wins. Now, they win big ultimately, save for Sam Houston. But that's the knock on Air Force right now as well. You haven't really played anybody.
Yeah, and honestly, Brady, that was the knock on Fresno State coming into Laramie last week. They had not played. You know, they went two overtimes at home with Eastern Washington. And you look at it on its face and you go, wow, they won at Purdue and they won at Arizona State. But, you know, we know better. Those teams are not very good. And that's just all there is to it. So, Air Force, I believe, has the 130th strength of schedule out of 131 teams.
Wow.
Not great. However, Air Force is Air Force. They always are. They always, they're not going to fool you with anything. They are. They're going to fool you within their, you know, the many facets of a triple option, but they are who they are. They're tough. They're hard-nosed. They're disciplined. All that stuff you hear about Air Force every year, every game, that's what they are. But, you know, I talked to Shannon Moore, the tight ends coach, this week. It's no mistake, Brady, that the Cowboys and Falcons are always battling, more so even than CSU in recruiting, because the Cowboys are looking for that guy, that disciplined, tough, hard-nosed guy who's going to come to work and just go balls to the wall, basically. And you see that a lot. When you look through Wyoming's roster, it'll be like, was also recruited by Air Force. You'll see that 10 times over compared to was also recruited by CSU. So you got a lot of guys that are cut from the same cloth here. And, you know, the Cowboys even have a guy named TJ Urban who spent his first year at the prep school at the academy. And Wyoming and Air Force ran on him to the very bitter end. And he ended up being able to go, you know, go check out Air Force during COVID, which I think they got in a little trouble for in the end. But he actually got to go see Air Force compared to going to see Laramie. So that, in the end, put Air Force over the top. But I don't think that's any mistake, and I don't think that can be overlooked.
Well, there's no doubt there's similarities there between Calhoun, just the styles, approach. And, again, you have the triple option, but Wyoming runs the football so well, and they continued to do that and find new guys every single year, even when stud running backs move on. So there's a lot of similarities as far as that hard-nosed football, just view of the game. However, Cody, this could be the shortest football game in the history of football games coming up.
Yeah. I mean, it was last year.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys really gave Air Force a dose of their own medicine last year. I believe the opening drive was a 14-play grind them out. Cowboys find themselves with a field goal after a 14-play drive. I mean, that's the stuff Air Force does. You look up, and there's 2 minutes left in the first quarter, and Air Force hasn't even had the ball yet. And then, at the end, the Cowboys had control. They were up 17-14. They controlled the clock and ran out the clock on the Air Force Falcons. You never see that happen. It was incredible to see. But these teams have so many similarities, like you said. And now, look, Andrew Peasley's adding that element of a passing game now. It's finally starting to click. I mean, like you said, 19 of 27, 183 yards and 3 touchdowns last week. And that's essentially doing nothing in the second half. That's all in the first half. In fact, most of it's in the second quarter. So you put together even 3 quarters, let alone 4, of anything that looked like the Cowboys. That was the most efficient Cowboys offense I've ever seen on this beat for 5 years that I've been doing it.
Yeah.
If they can do that through 3, I would say Wyoming could hang with damn near anyone.
They're 10.5-point dogs on Saturday.
Yeah.
I am astonished by that. I was thinking maybe, okay, it's in Colorado Springs. I don't know how much the home field will help with Air Force, what they do and all that stuff. I was thinking maybe 3, 2.5, 3, something like that, but 10.5.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't understand that stuff, but my only rebuttal is what Texas Tech was a 17-point favorite.
Yeah.
Obviously now we've got to see what these teams can do through 6 weeks, 5, 6 weeks, which is weird. I don't know if they're giving Air Force the home field, which, let's be real, dude, there's going to be a ton of Wyoming fans inside Falcon Stadium. There always is, and now it's going to be more so than ever. And, you know, maybe it's Air Force had a week off. I don't know. I mean, they got to sit and watch Wyoming play Fresno last week. I don't know, because literally this series is separated by 3 games. Every game seems to be close with these two teams. Some of the worst Wyoming teams in my lifetime have beat some of the best Air Force teams I've ever seen. So it's really pretty much even across the board at all times. I was stunned to see that.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, our Wyoming Cowboys insider. All right, Cody, so what am I picking on Friday? What am I doing? You tell me, bro.
Well, you know, last week I said John Hoyland would be the would add his walk-off field goal kick, which he missed a chance to put the Cowboys up by 8 late, which was really bizarre and never happens. So let's just move that over to this week. I really see a very tight, down to the wire, you know, absolute cardiac Cowboys type of situation, which this fan base has become so used to. I'm going to go 24-23. Wyoming wins that, goes into the off week, and then you set yourself up for a game at Boise State, a place Wyoming has never won the following week.
Man, and they can run after that. You know, it's a gauntlet of a schedule, but they already, step one, take care of Fresno State. Step two, and honestly, I'm going with your pick anyway, Cody, but I was easily going to take the points for sure, but yes, then go back and forth on, can Wyoming do it? It's just hard to go against them right now. And I don't want to get yelled at by any more Cowboys fans. It's scary.
Well, I tell you what, man. I grew up in Wyoming. I grew up in this rivalry, which it is a rivalry. Make no mistake. These two teams do not like each other at all. And Air Force was never the scary, intimidating place to go to that, say, Hughes Stadium was, or Cougar Stadium in Provo, and Rice-Eccles in Salt Lake. There's a ton of Wyoming fans that live on the Front Range. The place is, you know, it's full of Wyoming fans. It's the place I saw the Cowboys win more on the road than anywhere else. So it's not like it's this daunting, scary place to go into. And I really have always felt comfortable with the Cowboys playing there, and I don't really feel like it's the advantage some think it is.
Yeah, I agree. That's why when you look at that spread, you're like, are we not paying attention to this? I mean, I know Air Force is 5-0, and we get caught up in that. And I've watched every Air Force game this year. I think I've watched almost every Wyoming game that I'm able to. Air Force looks dominant in those games. But again, it's against teams that aren't really going to do much. Sam Houston was that close game, and that was a shocker to me. But that was a one-score game throughout. So that's why this 10.5-point spread is just absolutely madness.
Yeah, and you know what? Craig Bohl, in his tenure, he has been the guy who has figured out Air Force more so than anybody else. They have played them so tough every year. And really, you know, he's open about it. They work on Air Force during spring football. They actually set aside time to work on Air Force every year during spring football. And, you know, that's got to make a hell of a difference. What do you know, most of these kids see nothing but spread offense the whole time they're in high school. And then they pop in, and now you know you've got to face that team every single year. But Air Force isn't a one-trick pony, man. Their defense is stupid good. They are really, really good, and they've been good for a long time. They just get overshadowed with having the best rushing attack in America year in and year out.
They do. This is my kind of football game. I love running the football, tight defense. I love it, so I'm looking forward to it. Cody, my man, what are you working on at 7220sports.com that we can check out?
I'm writing a story about Colby Taylor, who made Bruce Feldman's freak list earlier this year. He's kind of had a rough start. Was benched, was suspended for a game at Texas, and he's a Texas kid, so you know that hurt. So really kind of seems like he's getting a little tamer and kind of slowing down the antics a little bit, and probably played his best game against Fresno State last week. So young kid that this coaching staff and teammates really believe in. So it's going to be a really good feature. I definitely suggest people check it out. And also, I talked to Wyoming's linebackers coach Aaron Bull, and I said, hey, like I just said to you, Brady, hey, pretend I'm a freshman coming into this program and I've seen nothing but spread offenses. Where the hell do I even begin with the Air Force Falcons? So he kind of talked me through what it's like to see, you know, this offense through the eyes of a linebacker.
I'm going to check that out for sure, because I just sit alone and think about how does one stop Air Force on a consistent basis? So I'll check that out, man. Cody, appreciate you as always. Beer's on me, oranges and everything as soon as we see each other again.
Save the oranges. I'll take scurvy.
Cody Tucker. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon, dude.
Thanks, brother. Have a good week.
Cody's giving me my pick. There it is. 11:44 at the time. Angel, I got to get out of here. Let's get the bottom of the let's go to the latest from the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. I want to shout out to Clearwater Products, man. You've heard a lot about them on the station. And we're going to be out there. KFKA staff's going to be out there throughout the day. You know, Brian Gary and Tanner Schwent. And I'll be doing the whole show live from the brand new spot. It's a, well, it's a customer appreciation barbecue. They're going to be giving stuff away, gift cards, flash sales, a TV, all of that at Clearwater Products. I'll be there on location next Friday. That's the 20th for the entire show, 11 to 2. You're not going to want to miss that. I'm trying to read the address here, or the number I can give you, but whatever Tanner handed me does not have the number. It was ripped off. 2021 First Avenue Greeley. That is on Tanner, though, if you can't call him. Look, look, he just ripped it. He just ripped it right there. Yeah. I mean, come on.
How do you do that?
I don't know, man. Was that rage from this morning?
Sabotage.
Still carrying over with his rage that he had?
He got so upset.
Because you said the Lions are a good team, and he hates the
that's
Lions.
That's not what I said. He asked me, who's the better team right now, Chiefs, Lions?
And you
said the Lions. And my reasoning is that they played head-to-head, and the Lions won.
And he hulked. He turned green. Well, I wasn't in here, but I just imagine he turned green.
It was a more reddish.
Hey, it's the season for scary stuff, and Tanner was scary. He was spooky. 11:49 the time. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour. In the second hour, I want to talk more Wyoming and Air Force, because I do think Harrison Whaley, if he doesn't play in this game, that's got to impact this some, right? But can you go against Wyoming at this stage? They're going to prove maybe that they're the best team in the Mountain West. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Hear Preps Talk on Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffaloes beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Late night, come home, work sucks. I know, she left me roses by the stairs. Surprises let me know she cares.
I think the Avs got to bring this back. They got to bring this back to be the anthem this season. Avalanche regular season game one is tonight, 8 o'clock on TNT. Tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Who's the better player for the Avs? Is it Cale Makar or is it Nathan MacKinnon? Now, it's a great problem to have, and I don't think a lot of people are going to argue. This isn't a Tanner, you know, be quiet, everybody shut up, I hate you. If you just have an argument about MacKinnon and Makar, I think if you told me it was MacKinnon, I'm going to go, I'd probably go Makar, but I can see why you'd say MacKinnon.
I'm going to say Makar.
Be quiet and listen, Angel.
When I started getting into, like, seriously getting into the Avs,
yeah, it's Makar.
MacKinnon was already kind of the star. And I remember vividly when they got Makar and his first game, he scored like 2 goals. And I was like, that kid's good.
MacKinnon's amazing. He's fast as hell on the ice. But I got to tell you, with Makar last year, with all the injuries, as many things as they asked him to do, and then he did it. I mean, his average ice time was over 26 minutes per game. He had to pick his spots a lot differently. He had to be a lot more strategic with how he did things. But now I think with a healthier roster, I think Cale Makar is going to get back to where he was 2 seasons ago. He was good last year, but he was, you know, phenomenal.
I think he's going to play real grown man hockey this year. Like he's grown into his body as a professional now, and he has that reputation now with around the league that's a guy you got to keep an eye out for.
I think because he's like, what did Eric tell us? Eric Lacroix told us he thinks that Cale's going to go down as one of the best, if not the best defenseman in history. Well, the thing is his offense, he was such an offensive threat 2 years ago. This year, I think he's going to bring that back again, and Cale Makar is going to be this complete player.
MVP?
Maybe. Yeah, I think you got two guys that could fight for that, and I think it's Cale Makar. And what are they going to be able to do? How are they going to do this? They're going to win their second Stanley Cup in 3 seasons. That's the goal. They've got the core. Makar, MacKinnon, Rantanen, Taves, Nishushkin is part of the core. I know it's still weird. Lekkonen, and you know, now you look at Georgiev as the goalie. Sucks that Gabriel Landeskog's not going to be there. You know, when you talk about a captain meaning a lot to a team, that's one of those guys. He is. There's a lot of guys that go down and you say, that's a bummer. That's a leader. But Landy is He you look up a picture of a hockey captain, and next to it is Gabriel Landeskog. So, can't wait. Ready to go. I will be watching tonight. I stayed up late last night to watch preseason. I'm watching hockey tonight, Angel. I'm going to try to do it more this year. More than I've ever done it. I say it every year, but I'm actually getting pretty excited about it. Probably because I just want to suck up to Eric Lacroix a little bit more. Maybe that's why. All right, second hour, coming up next.